Hey, Voices family. Really excited for our conversation today. Thank you for taking a moment out of your day, a moment out of your quarantine to join us and to talk about how to support pregnant and parenting students in this season during this time. Friends, it's finals week. There are millions of people that are buckling down in their own homes, but still buckling down, trying to make it through this moment. And so we're really excited to be doing a live AMA with Katie Forbes. Katie is an amazing person. She's the recipient of the Voices for the Voiceless Stand By Her Award from 2019 because of her phenomenal story, her outrageous courage, and her vulnerability, which is already being leveraged in amazing ways from ASU Pregnant on Campus Initiative to Phoenix Pro-Life Future, where she's the Director of Pregnancy Resources. Katie is out there and she's making an impact, reaching people who are facing the exact situation she was. And right now, during this time, as people are finishing up school and in the thick of it, we thought this is a perfect time to have this conversation. So before I welcome Katie, there's one thing I want to talk to you about today that I think is a really special opportunity and that we're really excited about. We've created something called Stand By Her Cards. And we're going to post the link into the live Facebook chat so that you can go there. Here's what this is. Stand By Her Cards came out of this principle. During this time, the people who are going to be hit hardest by this pandemic are people who were already isolated before. And the people who our Stand By Her movement exists to support, namely single moms and pregnant women who are really trying to make it through, are people who are experiencing this isolation the most. One of the things that, if you've been a part of our previous AMAs, has been really loud and clear, and was recommended by one of our board members, a therapist named Andy Maurer, and then reiterated in its importance by many single moms who just expressed how important this would be, is that we need to be in real connection with those people in our lives right now. We need to be in real connection with all of the moms in our lives, but especially the ones whose journey has looked a little bit differently and who might be experiencing some serious isolation right now. So what we've done with Stand By Her Cards is I'm going to show you them. We've created three greeting cards, if you will. They're Mother's Day cards. One of them I love looks like this. It says, "Resilience has a name." Another one I'm going to show you says, "Your future is bright." And then there's another one that comes in the package. If you go to that link, you'll see it. What we're doing is we're encouraging people to buy these cards and write a note to a mom in their life or someone experiencing an unplanned pregnancy who could really use encouragement and community in the midst of all of this isolation. And all the money that we raise from this campaign will be used to support scholarships and relief for pregnant women and single moms during this season. So I want to encourage you to do that today. If you order today, we're going to be able to get you these cards in time for Mother's Day for sure, no problem. So I want to make sure that that's out there for you. Now, we're going to talk about how to support pregnant and parenting students during this time, but I want to start with this. Katie, really excited to have you. Here's how I'd love to sort of introduce you to the world. It's with this question. I'd like you to tell us 1 year ago today, what was going on in your crazy life.
Okay. Thank you for having me, Josiah. I'm very excited to be here and talking with everyone. 1 year ago today was my finals week. It was the end of my junior year of college, and I was 39 weeks pregnant with my son. He was actually due at the end of finals week, and I had a final on his due date. So finals week for me was definitely very stressful. I was simultaneously super excited to meet this tiny human that I had been growing for the past 9 months, but also just praying that he would stay put until I was able to finish my classes. I went to ASU, Arizona State University, and one of my lecture halls had this long slope down, and I sat in the front row so that I could pay attention, and I just had this giant belly, and I waddled all the way down the slope to my seat and plopped down and took my final on his due date. So it was an interesting finals week, to be sure.
My goodness. As you think about that, Katie, I want to ask you this question. You obviously had a big journey to get to that finals week. And then very shortly after that, another big journey started. let's walk back a few steps, okay? So during that moment, I would imagine it was pretty surreal. I imagine it's surreal being a year removed from that moment. Let's go 9 months before that, okay?
For sure.
This wasn't something that was in the cards. It wasn't in the plan. I want to ask you this. Tell me about the time that as a student at Arizona State University, tell me about the time you found out you were pregnant. What was going through your mind? What's the experience like as a student with big dreams who's really ambitious that faces unplanned pregnancy?
Yeah. It's very interesting because my pregnancy and my school schedule lined up perfectly. I found out I was pregnant with my son Anthony the first week of college, my junior year, and then he was born the week after finals. So I was pregnant like the entire junior year, which is definitely not something that most college students find themselves doing. So I started off my junior year really excited. My summer had kind of been all over the place. I wasn't really sure where I was going, but I had kind of started my junior year with a renewed vigor, I guess, for my college studies. So it definitely knocked me off my feet a little bit when I took that pregnancy test and it said positive. I had broken up with my boyfriend about 2 weeks before, and we were on good terms, but it was definitely something where I was not looking back anymore. I was only looking forward to my kind of dreams for school and things like that. And to have that positive pregnancy test was definitely a shock. Unplanned pregnancy is called unplanned pregnancy for a reason. It wasn't the plan. But now I think a year after, I can honestly say that he changed my life for the better. My son did.
Wow. I've got a lot of follow-up questions for you about that story because
that's fine.
It's insane. But I think your courage and your story is incredibly important for this cultural moment that we're in. As you're listening to this live AMA, if you have any questions that you want to throw over to Katie, please comment on the Facebook Live. I'll see them. We'll try to work them in through our conversation. But one of the things, Katie, I wanted to ask is, I think for a lot of us, we greatly underestimate how many people this really affects. So there are about 2.7 million, student moms who are in college right now, right? Who are moving towards graduation. That's a big number. I feel like a bigger number than we see. But in the people that we've interviewed, as we've talked a lot about this story, including yourself, there's really been the impression that this isn't talked about all that much, or when pregnancy is talked about, it's talked in a light that's not very encouraging. I want to ask you this. Could you tell me a little bit about the expectations and stereotypes that are out there, especially on campus, when it comes to unplanned pregnancy? How is unplanned pregnancy viewed in academic circles today, would you say, in large part?
I think for the most part, it's just kind of a little bit like hush hush. I paid attention after I found out I was pregnant, and I watched, I looked for other pregnant women, women with strollers, things like that. And I saw maybe a handful of people my entire career at ASU. There were definitely people that gave me funny looks as I walked campus with my giant belly. And I think that for the most part, it wasn't necessarily negative, just surprise, because it's not something that's talked about, you know. You don't often hear stories about women who are going to school while they're pregnant or going to school while they're parenting. You know, it's just something that people don't talk about or say enough. And I think that can kind of lead to the feeling that you can't do it when you find out that you're pregnant. When, like you said, you know, thousands of women are doing it and have done it and can do it. You know, I think women, we were built to do great things and to do amazing. It has to be spoken about for people to realize, hey, like, she's doing it, they're doing it, I can do it too.
Absolutely. It needs to be spoken about. These stories need to get out. I'll say, Katie, one of the things that this really makes me think of is that I think a lot of times when we talk about I want to know if you've experienced this, but a lot of times when we talk about student moms or being a parent and going to college, it's portrayed a little bit as a hero story. And the problem with some hero stories is that if we maintain the heroic nature of it too much, we tend to think that this experience is extraordinary, or doing this could only be done by the strongest among us, that it's an unreasonable ask of anyone who isn't in the, you know, top 1% of type A people. And I think it's important that instead we think of this maybe as becoming more the norm, right? Where this is talked about a lot on campus, this experience as not being something that prevents someone from their dreams. Katie, we've known each other for a little while. I know that you're a particularly ambitious person. You're a go-getter and you go after it. I wonder though, if you could speak a little bit to it as somebody who has big dreams in this space, what were your biggest concerns when you found out you were pregnant about your future and how this might affect you if you went through with the pregnancy? And what conclusions have you come to a year since then?
Yeah, I think that definitely one of my first thoughts when I found out that I was pregnant was sort of like, how am I going to do this? You know, how am I going to be able to provide a good life for my son? How am I going to be able to continue to stay in school? I graduated a semester early, so I had a really heavy course load. And I wasn't sure if I was going to be able to keep up with it. I wasn't sure if I was going to lose my scholarship. I had a lot of questions when I first found out I was pregnant. And honestly, the big one was just, I don't know if I can handle this. And I will say, like you said, Josiah, you don't want to play up the hero aspect of the story. Like, I'm not necessarily like the smartest person or the biggest person or the strongest person, you know. I'm just like your average college student. I'm your average mom. But it is something that you can handle, you know. You get through it one day at a time. I think my biggest question was just, am I going to be able to do it? And the answer is yes. Like, I did it and I'm still doing it.
That's amazing. And I think absolutely true. I want to talk to you for a moment. We're going to talk about something called Title IX, because after this happened to you, you led the charge on campus at Arizona State University to inform people of what support was actually available to them. Now, many of you in the Voices family, you're really passionate about creating spaces in your life where no one faces unplanned pregnancy alone, and where the people who do face that situation are remarkably empowered by community and are remarkably aware of the resources around them that exist to help them through this time and help them maintain the current pursuits that they had even before all this happened. Katie, so Title IX is something you've been really passionate about. Want to ask you this. Could you explain what Title IX is and what it means for students in our lives who find themselves facing an unplanned pregnancy?
Yes. Title IX is super important, and it's a very powerful tool for people who are passionate about helping women facing unplanned pregnancies or single moms. A lot of people don't know about it, which is why I'm so passionate about telling people all about Title IX. So Title IX is a law that was passed in 1972. So it prohibits discrimination against students. And this kind of, it's an overarching law, but it does apply specifically to pregnant and parenting students. So any school that accepts federal funding cannot discriminate against pregnant or parenting students. So you can't lose your scholarship. You can't lose your housing. You can't lose extra credit opportunities in class just because you're pregnant. A teacher can't tell you, oh, you can't do this. You're not going to be able to do this. You need to drop out of school. You're not allowed to continue in this program. All of that is discrimination and it's illegal, and your school cannot be telling you that. The other nice thing that Title IX provides is that it lets pregnant and parenting students have the same opportunities as other students, even if it looks a little bit different. So for me, for example, I had doctor's appointments during the week, and sometimes that would line up with my classes. So if I had a excused absence to have to go to the doctor, my teachers and professors could not deduct points for that because I had a medical reason to need to go to the doctor. When I had Anthony, since he was due finals week, there was a chance that I was going to have to miss my finals if I was giving birth, you know, can't be in two places at once, or my teachers probably wouldn't like me to be in labor in my classrooms. But
fair enough.
That would be very bad. But they could not fail me on my finals. They would have had to give me an opportunity to retake it at a different point. So I would have the same opportunity as all of the other students to get just as good of a grade in that class, which I think is an important thing. It's there to help pregnant students succeed in their academic learning.
Katie, that's so important. This is something that protects students to maintain they have the same academic opportunity to succeed with excused absences when that happens. Katie, you actually wrote a piece that's on the Voices for the Voiceless blog, wherein I think there's a template email where if you are facing an unplanned pregnancy, here's what you would write to a professor, or a pregnancy in general, it doesn't need to be unplanned. Here's what you'd write to a professor to explain to them exactly what you're going through, what you need them to do about it, that type of thing. That's on the blog. We'll make sure we post that into the comments as well. It protects those. It protects your scholarships, any university-sponsored scholarships you have. It protects your extracurricular engagement and your even athletic opportunity. All of these things are remarkably protected, and I think it's so important. As Katie mentioned, right, this is for any university that accepts federal funding. There are a very small handful of universities in the United States that don't accept federal funding, but the number is very, very small. And even in those institutions, I think we might need to change them a little bit to have them make sure they get on board with this. But if you have any questions as to whether a university that you're connected to falls under this, you want to make sure it does, feel free and put a comment in the chat. We'll get back to you on that and make sure that you know. But I think that's incredibly empowering, Katie. I want to ask this. So many of us who have students in our lives who are going through this are really wondering, how do we enter into this space with someone who is pursuing their academic dreams? They're really going after it. How do we enter into this space to support people in our lives who are facing unplanned pregnancy, who have big dreams and big expectations for their lives? They're actually going somewhere, and this is a hitch in a very rigorously developed plan.
Yes, it definitely can be super overwhelming when you're first faced with an unplanned pregnancy. And it's so important to have people nearby and that are close to you that are supportive of you. And I think one of the main keys is being able to let them know, excuse me, in advance that you are someone who is trustworthy, someone who cares, and someone who's going to be there to help you. And it can be kind of tricky to show that you're willing to show up for someone. You can't necessarily just go up to every acquaintance of yours and be like, if you get pregnant, I'm there for you. That's not really like a great conversation starter. But I would say that the main thing is to be authentic. It's really important to just be yourself. You don't necessarily have to have the right thing to say, the right list of resources right there to help this person. It can go so far to just show up and to just be yourself. I think that that's like super important. The second thing I would say is to don't be afraid to share the stories that you've heard of other women who have been in the same situation. Like we've said, it can sometimes seem like a hero, kind of a hero standpoint. But if you normalize unplanned pregnancy, if you normalize student moms, it can really help someone in that situation feel like they're not alone through it, and to feel like, oh, there are other women like me who have done the same thing, and that means that I can too. And I think finally, just listen. That was the biggest thing for me when I was pregnant, just to have someone nearby who would just let me vent to them for a little bit, just come over and watch a movie. Someone who didn't treat me differently just because I had experienced unplanned pregnancy. you know, I'm the same person that I was before I had my son. I think I'm a little bit better now because I have this great little boy. But ultimately, I'm still me. And I think that it's very important that people remember that and remember to treat women who are facing unplanned pregnancy with that same level of dignity and the same level of human kindness that they would otherwise.
I think it's really perceptive to say you needed to feel just like you, right? You needed to feel that by doing this, you weren't going to become a different person. You were still going to be Katie with all of Katie's strengths and Katie's quirks and exactly who Katie is, right? In the middle of that space. And I think sometimes as people who are well-meaning, we can sort of create this expectation, right, with people who are going through this, that they're going to have to transform into something completely different. They won't be the same person to us. And certainly, becoming a mother is a transformative experience, right? But you maintain who you are, and I think that's so important. Katie, I want to ask you to get real honest about something for a second, and that's this. Obviously, there were people who responded to you in ways that were empowering, and people who were probably well-meaning who responded to you in ways that were not and were pretty discouraging. So I want to ask you, so that we can better learn as a community how to really support someone in that situation, in the situation you were in, what was the least empowering thing that someone said to you during that time? And then what was the most empowering thing that someone said to you during that time?
Oh my gosh. So the least empowering thing, and I think that anyone who has faced unplanned pregnancy or has been pregnant in general will agree, the absolute worst thing in the world is when you run into someone at the grocery store or something who you haven't seen in a while, and they look at you and their eyes go kind of big, and they look you up and they look you down, and then they go, "Oh, you're pregnant." And almost with like a sense of disgust, I guess. That is the worst. It is absolutely terrible and not empowering. You know, it makes you almost feel like there's something wrong with you for being pregnant. But in reality, like, pregnancy is this exciting, joyful thing. And I feel like throughout most of my pregnancy, I felt like I almost wasn't allowed to be excited about my pregnancy because it was unplanned and it wasn't necessarily something that was viewed in the greatest light, that I wasn't allowed to be excited about my baby bump, or I wasn't allowed to be excited about picking out a name for my son. I think that one of the most empowering things is to be excited for the new mom. Just to say congratulations, like that should be the first thing that you say, regardless of whether the baby's up planned or unplanned, you know, congratulations, like, I'm so happy for you. It almost gives the mom permission to be excited herself. My sister was actually the first one who got to feel my son kick. So she got to feel her little nephew kick. And the joy that I saw in her eyes when she put her hand on my belly and felt Anthony kick, it was like amazing to just get to feel her excitement. And it gave me permission to be excited too, which I loved. But I think that the simple truths are the main things that you can say that are empowering to women. You know, you were so strong. You were made to do this. You were this baby's mom for a reason. This is tough, but so are you. Just take it one day at a time. I think those are kind of the most empowering things you could say, is the simple truths that moms just need to be reminded of sometimes.
Absolutely. And that's powerful and specific. I love that, Katie. I want to somebody asked a question in the chat that I want to toss over to you. This is from Kayla Izzard. I want you to answer this as far as you can. It's a good question. She was just curious about how specific relationships in your life responded. So how did your parents respond? How did your boyfriend at the time, or no longer boyfriend at the time, respond? What were their responses to you? And I'll throw this out there so you can kind of answer it in the same tone. What truths did you really need to hear the most from the people in your life in that situation? So how did those specifically close relationships respond? And then what truths did you really need to hear?
Mm-hmm. For sure. Hi, Kayla. Thanks for watching. I'm so glad there are people here. That is a very good question and a hard question for sure. So I'm very close to my parents. I'm the oldest of 8 kids, actually. So we have a very large, tight-knit family. So I told my parents about 2 weeks after I found out that I was pregnant. And my mom knew that something was up. I was acting weird because there was this giant load on my shoulders. And I really hadn't told many people. So I told my mom first, and she cried, which I think, looking back, was probably the best reaction I could have asked for. I needed a human reaction. I didn't want someone who was just going to be just kind of rambling off, like, it's okay, they're there, kind of a thing, you know? It was a raw reaction, and I appreciated that. And she called my dad upstairs, and my dad came up, and they both just sat. We sat on my parents' bed, and they both just hugged me for like the first probably 10 minutes, and we just sat there. And they sat with me in what I was feeling, which I think was the most important thing, that they didn't try to like tell me what I needed to do right then. They didn't yell at me for doing something wrong, you know. They just were there with me and present. I think that was really important. And honestly, like, I could not ask for a better reaction from them. I told my ex shortly after. We hadn't really been in contact very much throughout the whole thing. After I broke up. So I kind of called him out of the blue, and we made small talk for a few minutes, but I ended up just kind of telling him, you know, like, I'm pregnant. And he said, oh, and he actually hung up the phone on me. So not really the best reaction. There's a blog that Voices for the Voiceless put out about how you can respond if your partner tells you that she's pregnant. And reading that was amazing. It's a very important piece, something that's very important for men to read. I highly encourage you to go read it. He did call me back about an hour later, and we talked things through, and he was much calmer then. And I think that he needed to take the time to process information the same that I did, you know. And he's very present in Anthony's life now. And he definitely has come around, I guess, since that first time when he hung up the phone, you know. It was a shock to me, and it was a shock to him too. So I don't blame him for that reaction at all.
Katie, thank you for being so vulnerable about all of that and raw and honest. I think getting a window into that, I think there are a few lessons that I'm learning. And one is that in your position, it must have been really hard to be this way, but you clearly gave people a certain level of grace to react to it in real and in human ways. And I think one way that that encourages us is that when you are in a situation, Voices family, where someone who's really close to you is facing an unplanned pregnancy, you will feel the raw emotion kind of well up inside you because you so intensely want the best for this person. And I think one thing Katie's emphasizing here is that, and Katie, correct me if I'm wrong, because I'm trying to understand this too. I think one thing that you're emphasizing seems to be, you don't need to respond. You want to respond in a way that's helpful, but you don't need to be politically put together in certain ways. You don't need to be completely collected, if you will, to respond in an empowering way. And sometimes just responding or being present and in that space and getting to the point where you can say congratulations and give that life-giving hug is really important. Katie, is there anything that you would add to that for me as we're trying to describe specifically how you respond to unplanned pregnancy for someone like you, somebody who's got big dreams and big plans for their future and is moving towards them very quickly? anything that you would want to add on how we can really be concretely empowering with the truths we're speaking to people in that situation?
Yeah, I think you really just like nailed it. You know, you don't have to be completely put together or politically correct and have all the right things to say and everything tied up with a pretty little bow. Sometimes it means so much more to just be human and to just be raw and to express the emotions that you're feeling in like a loving and a kind way. I think that's the most important thing is to just be you. If a person in your life is facing unplanned pregnancy and they have come forward to open up to you, they're not looking for someone who's perfect. They're looking for you. They're asking you for your help and you for your advice for a reason. And you are the person that they want.
Wow. I think that is, Katie, that's remarkably empowering advice. At Voices for the Voiceless, we spend a lot of our energy trying to equip our communities to respond in really empowering ways and ways that are truly real. But I think I just want to encourage you that your presence is necessary in that space. It's really important to be there, even if you don't know exactly what to say. Now, we're going to get, I think, a little closer to exactly what we want to say. Katie, a lot of people in our space, and so I'm going to throw this out there. It's something I mentioned at the beginning. We're working on Stand By Her cards, which we've produced. They're just these greeting cards that you can get if you order soon. You can get them before Mother's Day. All the profits for them, it's a way for us to raise money to fund scholarships and relief for pregnant women and student moms during this season. So Voices Family want to encourage you to go to the link that's in Facebook Live and put in your order. It's $15 for three of them. These are cards that you can use to basically encourage any mom during this season, but they're especially inclusive of moms whose motherhood journey has looked a little bit different or may not be 100% planned. Katie, I want to ask you this. So you've got a few of these coming your way. What are some of the most important things to communicate directly to somebody in this situation? In other words, if you were to write a card, which you'll be doing very shortly, to someone facing the same situation you were doing, what goes in that card? What are the several things that are most important to put in there?
Yeah, I am super excited to get my cards. I ordered them last night, so they should be coming soon. I have a couple friends of mine who are single moms and a couple friends who recently found out that they were pregnant. So they'll be going out with positive messages. And I think that's the key takeaway is like your messages should be positive. Don't necessarily focus on the unplanned part of pregnancy. Focus on pregnancy. You know, just say, I am so excited for this new bundle of joy you're going to have in your arms soon. You're going to be an amazing mom. You know exactly what your baby needs. Simple truths are always good. If you're writing to someone who's a single mom, just say, like, this time is really hard. And I recognize that. But you are doing great things. And your baby loves you. And you love your baby, and that's all that matters. Something that I repeated to myself a lot when Anthony was first born, the first couple weeks were hard doing it by myself with a newborn. I would just tell myself, this is new to Anthony, and this is new to you. It's okay to feel overwhelmed. It's only day 5, or it's only day 42. today is day 357. I wrote that down. And it's still new on day 357. And I think just letting moms know the simple things that they've got this, that it's hard, but you were made to do hard things. Those can be really powerful. And it matters less what you say and more that you're saying something. Just getting a little note in the mail could make someone's day a million times better. Friends sometimes will bring me a cup of coffee, and it's just a cup of coffee. It's nothing fancy. But the amount of joy that I feel from the fact that they took time out of their day to bring me a cup of coffee means the world. And I know that by you, Voices Family, writing a card to someone facing an unplanned pregnancy it's something small. It might only take you 5 minutes, but it will mean the world to a woman.
I think that's incredibly, that's so valuable, Katie, as far as helping us to really know how we can stand by people who are facing unplanned pregnancy or single moms in this situation. I want to talk about current events for a minute. There was one question that was asked in the chat that I'm going to get to in 1 second, but this is just a follow-up to what we talked about. Currently, people in our communities are being really hard hit, especially those of us who are more isolated because of the circumstances that we live in. I'm talking especially people who are already facing an isolating situation like unplanned pregnancy, or someone who exists in a situation that can be easily isolating in many ways by being a single mom. Katie, I wanna ask, besides words, you mentioned something that I think is great. I just want you to name, if you can, a few things that come to mind. Coffee was one of them. Go on a coffee errand for someone right now who's facing this situation. But so here's the whole question I'm asking. How do you think this situation is uniquely affecting single women, single moms rather, and women who are facing unplanned pregnancy? And what are some concrete things we can do in addition to regular human connection, writing notes, being there in person? Are there any sort of specific, I don't know, a task list that you want to give us to accomplish for people in that situation right now?
For sure. It is the unique time we're living in. It's hard for sure. I don't think it's wrong to admit that it's difficult. Being a single mom and facing unplanned pregnancy in normal times is very isolating. I lost a number of friends after I found out that I was pregnant, girls and women who I thought would stand by me on my wedding day and that would be my best friends through life. It's amazing how unplanned pregnancy can just kind of change your life in ways that like you don't necessarily expect. So it's very important, I think, right now more than ever, that if you know someone who's facing unplanned pregnancy, or if you know someone who's a single mom, that you definitely reach out to them. I think even if you aren't a single mom, if you are married and have kids, it's still isolating right now. You're just trapped at home with your baby or your toddler all day. And it can make you feel like it's just you in the whole world. Like you said, Josiah, coffee runs are very important. I'm a coffee addict for anybody who knows me. I absolutely love coffee. If you can't physically show up for someone, you can mail them a gift card to go to Starbucks. I had a friend of mine Venmo me $5 the other day and said, treat yourself to a cup of coffee. And it was the sweetest thing. It was out of the blue. But your gifts don't have to be like a physical gift or a monetary gift if that's something you're not able to do. I have a friend of mine who's been FaceTiming me once a week because we normally see each other at church and we haven't been able to. So we get to talk on FaceTime. She gets to see Anthony. I get to see another human being. It's not as perfect as in-person contact, as I think Andy was talking about on a previous AMA, but it's better than nothing. Just letting a single mom know that you are there and that you haven't forgotten about her can mean a lot. Texts, FaceTimes. My best friend sends me memes that make her laugh. Another friend of mine sends me dog pictures. All of those things that don't take a lot of time or a lot of money just brighten up people's day. And I think that that's something that you can do to anybody. It doesn't have to be someone facing unplanned pregnancy or a single mom. Just that human connection of, hey, I'm thinking about you. I'm still here. We're still friends. Things are going to be okay. It's really important.
Regular connection in this time. So many of you in the Voices family, you're really passionate about standing by people in this situation, especially when it means being generous. And so many of you are very generous financially in some big time ways. And so many of you are generous relationally. This is a time where I think it's so important to be generous in communication. And that is to spend your time intentionally connecting with people who are especially isolated in this moment, who really need to hear from you. And what we're telling you, Voices family, is that it's finals week for a lot of different student moms. They need to hear from you. It's an incredibly isolating time for a lot of single moms, and they need to hear from you. And for people who are facing unplanned pregnancy, they need to know that you're there so that they can reach out to you in this incredibly isolating time. I want to encourage you to do that. Katie, I want to pivot to this. We've had a question come up in the chat, and I want to pivot our conversation for a minute to talk about changing the culture. In the United States today, according to the Guttmacher Institute, about 38% of women who choose abortion do so because a baby would dramatically interfere with their education. 38% means hundreds of thousands of women a year are choosing this, who exist in this space, go on campus, and for some reason don't think that they would be able to choose motherhood and this education at the same time. That's got to change. There was one question during our discussion about Title IX that came up from Jesse. And Jesse asked, just out of curiosity, were there any points on campus where you're talking about Title IX? And if you just joined us, Title IX is a federal statute, federal law, that basically makes it illegal to discriminate against someone on the basis of parenthood or pregnancy, a student. That means your university-sponsored scholarship is safe, your extracurricular participation is safe, your academic opportunity is safe. But not everybody knows that, hence the need to spread the word about that. So on campus, we had one question asked by Jesse. Were there any conflicts that you experienced with professors at school, or other people at the university who weren't aware of this, and you kind of had to educate them as to how this worked, even being in that situation?
Yeah. So it was definitely interesting. ASU was one of the biggest schools in the United States. My junior year, I was just pregnant, no baby yet. And I think that was almost a little bit harder because my professors were almost like, well, you don't have like a baby to take care of, so like, why should we treat you any differently? ASU was great to work with. You have to be registered with the Disability Resource Center to be able to have the protection, I guess. It basically means that ASU is backing you up in all of this. I did have one professor my junior year. His final was the one that I was taking on Anthony's due date, and he was just a stickler for the rules. You know, like if you missed class, you missed class. Like he didn't care why you were missing class. If I missed my final, I missed my final. And I did have to send him a sort of a direct email. I wasn't rude, but I definitely was highlighted the Title IX laws. And I explained that my pregnancy was documented through the Disability Resource Center, that I was legally allowed to have my final rescheduled if I wasn't able to attend, and that I had been showing up to class, that I had been making good grades, and that the only reason that I would be missing is due to childbirth. And he responded to that email very well. But it's a scary thing to have to stand up for yourself, I think, and a skill that's hard to learn. And I'm thankful that I was able to have the backing from the Disability Resource Center to be able to be like, hey, like, you're allowed to have these protections and things like that. I only took one in-person class when Anthony was born. I only had one semester of my senior year because I graduated early. I took three classes online and one in person. And my in-person professor was amazing. He let me bring Anthony to class one day because I didn't have a sitter. So Anthony just sat on the floor on a blanket and played with his toys while I took notes in my management class, which was, it was unusual, but beautiful at the same time, to have a professor that was so open to helping his parenting students show up for class. I think that not a lot of people are aware of Title IX, that Title IX exists. Planned Parenthood tables on campus really regularly, and they promote abortion, like, blatantly. They promote the morning after pill. They promote this mentality that you have to pick between motherhood and school, and that if you choose motherhood, you cannot choose school. There's no both. It's just one or the other. And it's such a dangerous mentality, and it's not true at all. And I think that it's that more people need to be talking about Title IX, and more people need to be saying, you can do this instead of you can't do this. So that's a very good question though, Jesse.
Katie, I want to thank you for answering that so completely and so well. Follow up to this. There are two ways that I think for our movement, AppVoices, and this movement across the nation needs to be really thinking about right now are two questions. And that is, in our culture, how do we switch it around so that message, right, that your future dreams and motherhood are incompatible. What do we need to be doing in our culture to take that down so that that's not a prevailing message or the number one thing on her mind when she finds out she's pregnant, or it seems to be an assumption that's just in the air. So what do you have to say on how we can take it down culturally? And then personally, what are some ways we can encourage the people in our lives who our students, some of us might be students in this situation. There are a lot of people in the Voices family who are on campus right now, so I want you to talk to them about what they can be doing right now. But for the people who aren't, who just know students, what can we be communicating to them about what needs to change on their campus so we can get some momentum behind this movement to create a campus experience where motherhood and your future dreams are completely compatible and understood to be that way.
Exactly. Culturally is so tough. You know, I love everything that Voices is doing to change the culture. And it's such a beautiful part of your mission. You know, it's such a tough question because I don't know. I'm trying my best every day to make it happen, but it's so hard. I think the main thing is we need a cultural shift from a you can't mentality to a you can mentality. There's a lot of I'm gonna go off on a little bit of a tangent here, but it'll come to a completion. The feminist movement, I think, tends to focus on all of the reasons why women have been unable to succeed in the past, and they're focusing on trying to shift the tide so that we're talking about what women can do. And I think that oftentimes that is a good thing as a whole, is to highlight the things that women can do. But too often, the things that women can do are very narrow. Women can work, and women can have a degree, and women can be paid the same as men. And that is true. But women can also have children. Women can also pursue their dreams. Women can also be good wives and good mothers. And there's a lack of a big picture, I think, of what women are capable of. And it's often women can choose to work, or women can choose to stay home. Women can choose to go to school, or women can choose to have a baby. And that's the way it is. If you want to do both, you can't. Sorry, that's just not what's done. And I think that there just overall needs to be a shift in thinking so that women can do both. And it can be implemented in small ways. At ASU, we have lactation rooms. So if you're a nursing mom, there's a spot for you to go that's private where you can take care of your baby. We have changing tables in most of the bathrooms, not all. And that's a simple thing to implement. You know, just the small idea that, hey, I'm going to a college campus and there are changing tables in the bathroom. It's not something that's large and in your face, like, hey, women can go to school and have children, but it's very subtle, you know, something that students notice, but it may not phase them much. It just becomes a normal part of their college program. One thing that I was working on when I was at ASU was to have an addition put into our syllabus that said that it was basically a Title IX addition, so that every professor in all of their syllabi, I think that's the correct plural, that every professor had to say what pregnant and parenting students were entitled to. So even if you weren't facing unplanned pregnancy, even if you weren't a pregnant student, that you were still aware of what your rights were, which again, just changes the narrative in a really small and subtle way of saying like, oh, I guess women do go to school pregnant and parenting. And it's not something hard or something big that needs to be done, but it will subtly influence college students specifically, since they are a majority of people who face unplanned pregnancy. It will slowly shift their mindset from an I can't to an I can mentality, which I think is really important.
Absolutely. So incredible. And we lost you for just a second. So I'm going to see if we can get you back.
For those of you in the voice of people who are issues direct.
Yeah. We lost you just for a second there, Katie. So I want to make sure that we can make sure we get anything that we missed right there. I think we lost you right around when you were talking about getting it into the syllabi. Right. And you were moving to make that happen and talking about what the cultural impact of that can be and how we need to change the narrative on campus. I had a follow up question to that, which was just, was that something you were able to get enacted, or do we still have some work to do there?
We still have work to do at ASU. I was in the process of it my junior year, and then I had a baby. So that kind of took over my life a little bit. But it's definitely work that still needs to happen. And for those of you who are students, and if this is something you're passionate about, it's very easy to just talk to your administration about getting it implemented. A similar little note that says, if you're pregnant and parenting, like, you have resources available to you.
Absolutely. Katie, I think that is an incredible example of what needs to happen here. I think when we talk about changing the culture, most people understand what we're really doing is we're changing what's in the air, right? We're changing the assumptions that people make. And a lot of times that means we need to change subtle things kind of about what's going on all around us. And sometimes that means implementing small policy changes here and small policy changes there. And sometimes that's how we change the culture. Sometimes it's just a relentless pursuit of communication and human connection with the people in our lives so they know that we're a safe space. But all of this is going to be what it takes to change campus culture so that the prevailing thing in the air is not that she cannot do both, but the prevailing thing in the air is an expectation that she can, until that becomes the norm. Right? There should be no limitation on this. And as a society, we need to bend and flex and connect until that's the case, relentlessly. Katie, I want to ask this. I think there are some people in our Voices family who might want to be a part of that specific effort that you mentioned, or might want to get in touch with you to hear more about your story because they've got someone in their life who's going through the same thing. If they wanted to get in touch with you, what would be the best way to do that? And I think we lost you for 1 second. So while we get these tech issues figured out, I'm going to talk about a couple of things, Voices family, that I think are really, really important. We'll see if we can get Katie back on the call.
Okay.
So, Katie, hang tight for one moment. Give me a thumbs up when you're ready to go.
Okay, I think I'm back.
You're back. Okay.
Perfect. Sorry about that. I don't know what happened.
Not a problem. We got it. Also, do thank Anthony for us. He is almost 1 year old, correct? And he has been napping in an incredibly silent way for the entire duration of this call. What a pro. That, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. So go him. All right. So the question I'm asking, Katie, is I think there are some people who would want to get in touch with you directly because they've got people in their lives that are going through the same thing, or they want to be part of some of the things that you're talking about. They want to work with us. They're part of the Voices family to change the culture on campus. If that was something they wanted to do, what's a good way for them to reach out to you directly?
Oh my gosh, I would love that. As you guys can probably tell, I'm very passionate about this. I have a Instagram that is connected to a blog that I write, kind of talking about my journey as a pregnant student and as a single mom. And that Instagram handle is When Life Gets Bumpy. And I have a blog that's the same. It's whenlifegetsbumpy.com. So it's a pun because, you know, baby bump. But so that's a great way to reach me. You can either leave a comment on my blog or message me through that Instagram handle. But that's a good way to get a hold of me about any pregnancy or parenting related things.
Katie, I want to summarize a few of the things we talked about that are most important. I think we'll have some people who watch this, or you're probably doing some different things and you've skipped around during this time. A few of the takeaways for me that have been a part of this. Number one is we've got to change the culture on our campuses. And the way that we do that, it really sounds to me, is number one, we've got to be committed to connecting with people in our lives who are current students so that we can change the culture on our campuses. One of the biggest ways we need to do that is we need to increase awareness of Title IX and what that means for pregnant and parenting students, all the protections that are there for someone who's facing an unplanned pregnancy or is a mom going to college. Her scholarship is protected. Her academic pursuits and activities are protected. Her extracurricular activities and athletics scholarships are protected. All of these things are protected, and most people don't know because the air on campus is that she can't do both. Together, we've got to change that. And the other thing I don't want you to miss is that during this time, single moms and pregnant women are especially impacted by this pandemic. They're already facing isolated experiences that are naturally isolating. And adding this on, it can be even more. So I want to encourage you to connect. Connect with the people in your life who are in that situation, especially those whose motherhood journey has looked a little bit different. Connect so that they know that you're there. One of the ways you could do that is by going online and getting these Stand By Her cards. We're selling these. They're really amazing. This is my favorite one right here. Resilience has a name. You can go online. They're $15 for a pack of three of them. They're greeting cards that you can use for Mother's Day. You'll get them in time if you order soon. We've got like 10 or 11 days until Mother's Day. It's coming up fast. You can get them just to show the people in your life that you're there. You remember them. This human connection is such a life-giving thing for you to do right now. And all the profits from this campaign, this is really a way to fundraise for scholarships and relief for pregnant women and student and single moms during this time. So I want to encourage you to go online, go to the link that's in the Facebook comments and go for that today. Katie, this has been really transformative. I want to ask you kind of one question going away. You were in that situation. We talked about all the emotions that were swirling around in your head when you found out you're pregnant and the journey to get to where you are now. Tell us and share with us, where are you now? And how is life today different than you thought it would be in that first moment when, as a student, you found out you were pregnant?
Yeah. Oh, man. Today, my life is pretty good. My son Anthony will be one next Friday. I'm so excited for his first birthday. We're having a baby shark themed party for him. I'm engaged. I have a pretty shiny ring on my finger. My fiance is amazing. He's such a wonderful father figure to Anthony. And loves me and treats me so well, despite all the things that I've gone through and my whole journey as a single mom. I'm working as a bookkeeper, which was one of my goals, was to work in HR management, and I am on my way to achieving those goals. And I love my job, and I love the company I'm working for. It's a wonderful, wonderful life I'm living, and I'm so thankful to be living it. And it is so different than I expected. You know, when I found out that I was pregnant, all I pictured were diaper changes at 1 a.m. and having to go to school with a tiny baby and all of the hard things. But when you're in the middle of a hard situation, it's really easy to see all the difficult things you're going to do and not all of the amazing things that are going to happen, like Anthony learning how to crawl or saying mama for the first time. Those like have all just happened in the past week and have been the most joyful things I've ever experienced. And I could not have imagined being this happy or this full of life back when I looked at that positive pregnancy test.
That's remarkable. I think, Katie, that Anthony is going to grow up all the better for this all happening in some pretty incredible ways. So I want to go out with this. How do you hope that your story about where Anthony came from in the middle of all of this and all the situation, how do you hope that story affects or influences the person that Anthony grows up to be?
Oh man, I hope that Anthony hears these stories and hears about how he got to go to college with his mom, and that he sees that we as human beings are made to do hard things, and that we can do whatever we kind of set out to do, and that hard things in our lives or that unexpected things in our lives don't have to change our big dreams. And I want that to be what Anthony kind of grows up hearing and understanding, that even when he's faced with something that is hard or something that is difficult, that he will be able to handle it and that there will be people by his side to support him and to love him through whatever comes his way.
Katie, that's extraordinarily inspiring. Voices Family, if you were really passionate about this effort to change the culture on campus, I want to encourage you to reach out to us. Or if you want to get in touch with Katie directly, please do that. Make a note, DM us, and make sure that that we can connect you to how you can get involved in this particular element of transforming the culture. Katie, I think your story is so important and your courage is so inspiring, because right now it's not commonplace to be so open about this story. But let me tell you, I think because of your courage, we're getting there. We're getting to a place where one day it could be commonplace that motherhood and the future that you dream about achieving can coexist in the same world, in the same sentence, in the same story. And they already do, and it takes telling these stories. So if you have experienced something similar to Katie and you want an outlet to share your story, please direct message our page. We would love to feature your story of triumph and courage in this space. If you're somebody who wants to make sure that during this pandemic and this time of increased isolation, you are helping to care for the emotional needs of the single moms and pregnant women in your life, I want you to go online and buy some Stand By Her cards and help fund scholarships and relief for single moms and pregnant women during this time. We're excited, Voices Family, to be fighting this fight for you. And I want to encourage you to let the people know, especially the students in your life who are going through finals week right now, that you support them, especially if they're a single mom or they're facing unplanned pregnancy and going through this at the same time. We want to make these experiences commonplace, but it's going to take radical support happening from all of us. Katie, I want to thank you so much for taking this time to be with us today. Thank Anthony, too. Happy first birthday in advance to him.
Thank you.
Yeah, my goodness. What an honor to have you today.
Thank you, Josiah. It was lovely talking to you and getting to talk to all the Voices family.
Absolutely. All right, Voices family. Excited to see you for our next AMA next week. We're going to be talking about adoption specifically. But in the meantime, I want to encourage you to go get those Stand By Her cards. Make sure you're intentionally connecting with people who are in isolated spaces right now, because that's how we stand by her as a movement. God bless everyone.